We invite you to look at Romans chapter 10. Focus verses for our study this morning will be the first four verses of this chapter. The Apostle Paul, who is the writer of this epistle, he writes, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things..." Oh, I'm in the wrong book. I'm sorry. the book of Romans, chapter 10. I knew that didn't sound right. Alright, Apostle Paul, verse 1, once again. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Our subject this morning is salvation God's way. Salvation God's way. Is there only one way of salvation? Or are there many ways that lead to God? There are those that would have us believe that there are many ways that lead to God. They would tell us that the various religions that we see in the world today, that they are all that of those who are trying to reach God. And they're going in that of their way. Are you sure that you're saved and going to heaven? We would ask you, what makes you so certain about it? What makes you so certain about it? We would say to you that there is only one way of salvation. There is only one way to God. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Peter declared as he stood before the council there in Acts chapter 4. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Jesus Christ is the only salvation. He is the only salvation. Some people are sure that they're saved and they're going to heaven, but if you ask them how that they know it, and they answer you, if you take that as their answer, you might be surprised when you go to the book to see if it's there. Beloved, many people think they're going to heaven, and yet they're not. They're not. They base it upon this and they base it upon that. But when it comes down to that of the Scriptures, they know nothing about what the Scriptures have to say. In verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the saints of God at Rome. He says, "Brethren." Brethren. Now, the word for brethren here is no different than that of the brethren that we read of back over in chapter 9 and verse 1, where Paul writes, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. The actual Greek word is the same. And yet you'll note there in Romans chapter 9 and in verse 3 that Paul distinctly makes a difference there when he says that he is he could wish that himself were accursed for Christ for his brethren. He goes on to say, "My kinsmen according to the flesh." Now, we point this out to you to show you that the word brethren, it doesn't always refer to the very exact same thing. And that's the case which is before us. The brethren that Paul here is referring to is those to whom he was writing to, those to whom he addressed that of this epistle. the saints of God at Rome. And he says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. My heart's desire. The heart is the place of emotion, that of affections. Paul's use of the pronoun my here tells us he is expressing what is in that of his heart. My heart's desire, or that of my wish, that of my good will towards those to whom I'm referring to here. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, I know when we looked at verse number 1 extensively back several weeks back, we pointed out this, but we're going to point it out again. The phrase there, for Israel, is not actually found in that of the later translations. Rather, the later translations translate what is in the text as for them. Now, either way, the reference here that Paul is making here is to that of his brethren according to the flesh. He is Jewish brethren here. That's whom he is referring to. That of Jewish brethren according to the flesh. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Or, put it in another way, he says, my desire, my prayer to God is for that of the salvation of my people. For the salvation of my people. That of his people according to the flesh. Paul was a Jew, and those to whom he's referring to here were Jews. That they might be saved, or that they might be delivered, that they might be rescued. Deliverance or rescue being from that of sin and its penalty, which is eternal death, eternal judgment, eternal torment. We can hear that of Paul's affection, that of his love for that of his kinfolks here, for that of his brethren according to the flesh. As he declares, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In verse 2, he goes on to say, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. We would draw your attention to the little word for there in verse number 2. It's a conjunction. Conjunctions connect, and what we have here is the connecting word that connects that of verse number 1 with that of verse number 2. Now, this conjunction is an interesting conjunction because I'm told that it is an explanatory conjunction. So, what Paul is going to do here in this next verse, he's going to give us an explanation for that of what he has just said. And what did he just say? He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but are not according to knowledge. Why did Paul desire the salvation of that of his people? Well, because he loved them, for one reason. But secondly, we would say to you that Paul desired the salvation of that of his people, that of his Jewish brethren, because they were lost. Oh, they were religious, but they were lost. They were ones who were very zealous as far as that of the law, that of the things with regards to God. but they needed to be saved. They needed salvation. Paul says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Is it possible? Is it possible to be zealous for God or that of the things of God? In other words, to put it down on that of our level for today, is it possible for one to be an actual member of a church, be involved in that of the activities of the church, be there every time that the door is open, in every service, and be taking part in that of the service, and yet in all of that of the activities, all of that of the zealousness that is set forth, that they would be lost? I say to you, yes, it is possible. It is possible. And Paul knew that very thing. He knew it personally. If you look back upon that of the historical account that is given in Scripture with regards to the Apostle Paul, you know that he was very much involved in that of the Jewish religion. He was very zealous for that of the customs of the fathers. Very zealous as far as being involved in that of the Jewish religion. And yet, beloved, we would say to you that it wasn't until that day upon the Damascus Road that God intervened in his life. It wasn't until then that he came to that of salvation. Prior to that of that encounter there upon the Damascus Road, he was lost. He was going or headed to hell. And as Paul pins these verses, beloved, I'm sure that what was in his mind was that of his own experience. He says, I bear them record. I'm an example. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but know what he goes on to say, but not according to knowledge. In other words, their zeal was not based upon that of knowledge. And the knowledge here that is being referred to here is the knowledge with regards to God, and especially that of his saving grace, his saving righteousness, a gift of God. He says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Why did he pray for their salvation? Why did he pray to God for their salvation? He knew that they were lost. He knew that they were zealous, but they were lost. They needed to be delivered. They needed to be rescued. They needed someone to rescue them, didn't they? Just like you and me today, here, if we profess salvation, and we are truly saved of God, there was someone who rescued us. Rescued us from that of ourselves. Rescued us from that of our self-righteousness. That of our sinfulness. That of our blindness. That of our will, which was bent towards that of the way of sin and evil. Away from God. It was necessary for someone to intervene in that of our life. To rescue us. To deliver us. Beloved, that's what the Apostle Paul here is speaking of here. And this is why he says, my prayer is that they would be saved, that they would be delivered. They need God to deliver them. They need God to work in them. They need God to reveal Himself unto them. Paul couldn't save them. And likewise here today, I can't save any of you out there, nor can any of you save any of us. No, beloved, if we're saved here today, beloved, it's not because of any human deliverance. No, beloved, it's because of divine deliverance. And except for the grace of God, except for the grace of God, we likewise will be amongst the number of that of those Jewish brethren here that Paul spoke of, and also that of Gentiles that were in deep darkness of sin. We would be involved in that of seeking our own self-righteousness. Seeking our own way. And going in our own way. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For. There we have that little word for again. If you notice, as you look down through Romans chapter 10, there are a lot of times that that word begins the various verses. Note in verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law. Down in verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Verse 11, for the Scripture saith. Verse 12, for there is no difference. Verse 13, for whosoever. Paul uses this word, this conjunction, quite often here in this chapter. And beloved, it's a conjunction of explanation. Paul is giving explanation of what he has just said. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Again, we have that little conjunction for, and it's an explanatory conjunction here. He's explaining that of what he has just spoken about. He's going to give us further explanation. He says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant. They being ignorant. You have the word knowledge back up at the end of verse number 2, and then you have the word ignorant there in verse number 3. Now, that word ignorant, or ignorance, it has that of a connotation that most people don't like. But the word ignorant or ignorance basically means to not know. To not know. What Paul here goes on to tell us is that these Jewish brethren of his, though they were zealous, that zeal was not according to that of knowledge. They were not knowledgeable. They were about not knowledge about something, and that knowledge that they weren't knowledge about, that they were unknowing about, was that of God's righteousness. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, the word submit there at the very end of verse number 3, it is the verb of action there in verse 3. There's a couple other verbal words that are found here in verse number 3, but they're not the main verb. The word submitted is the main verb of the verse here. But the word being ignorant and going about to establish their own righteousness, or going about to establish. We have two participles that are given to us here in these verses. And these two statements, they tell us why they did not submit to that of the righteousness of God. First of all, they were ignorant of it. They were unknowing of that of the righteousness of God. That is, God's saving righteousness through that of Jesus Christ. And then you'll note he goes on to say, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Or the idea here is that they sought in that of their own way to establish, to make known that of their own righteousness, their own self-righteousness. And how did they do that? They did that by that of attempting to keep the law. They were ignorant of God's saving righteousness, and they sought to establish their own righteousness. God's righteousness versus their righteousness. And they submitted themselves not unto the righteousness of God. Submit. Place under. What we have here is we have the Jews not submitting or not receiving that of the gospel message. The gospel message of grace. Now, there's various reasons that we can give for that. They were blind, number one. They were blind spiritually. And they needed to be rescued. They needed to be rescued, and they weren't willing. They weren't willing to submit. But they needed God's intervention in their life. For that was the only way that they were going to submit. Just like you and me here today, if we're saved here this morning, I guarantee you that prior to that of our salvation, we really didn't have much thoughts or desire for the things of God. Probably thought we were pretty good people, perhaps. In the case of the Jews, they thought they were pretty good people. I mean, they had the law, and they were seeking to obey it. They weren't that bad. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not. They have refused. They have refused. Think back with me to the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul, on his various journeys, he would go in the cities, and where would he go? First of all, he would go to the synagogue. He would go there and he would preach the Scriptures. And it seemed like that in every city where he preached the Scriptures, and he went to the synagogue and he preached the Scriptures there. Beloved, the Jews, they rose up and they were against him. They rejected that of the message. Didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. No. Their way was the right way. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Again, we have that little word for, which is, again, an explanatory conjunction. You're going to get tired of me saying that. I know. But Paul, again, is further giving us an explanation. He says, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. How could Paul say that they had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God? By simply realizing and declaring, beloved, that is their unbelief. They had refused the message. They had refused to believe. They had rejected Christ as the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Deliverer. And in so doing, they refused to submit to that of God's righteousness. For God's righteousness, beloved, is found in that of Jesus Christ. His saving righteousness is in Jesus Christ. We're not going to go into any more detail in verse 4 here this morning, because we're going to go into more detail tonight. But what I want to point out to you here is this morning, if you're here this morning and you are depending upon anything else other than that of Jesus Christ and that of His righteousness, His work upon the cross, for that of the deliverance from the penalty of your sin, for that of an acceptance with God, that of being able to have access unto God and to enjoy, beloved, that of eternity with Him, beloved, you must have Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior. Or else you'll never, as the songwriter put it, you'll never reach heaven. You can have all your religious activities. You can be at church and be there every time the door is open, be involved, and without Jesus Christ, you will not reach heaven. Beloved, salvation is God's way, and there's no other way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, in closing, are you saved? If you are, what do you base it upon? Are you basing it upon that of profession that you made? Are you basing it upon that you read your Bible every day? Are you basing it upon that of the fact that you're involved in that of church activities all the time? Beloved, again, I say to you, those things won't save you. You must have, beloved, that of Jesus Christ. And the way that you have Jesus Christ is by faith. That righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ is found by faith in Him. I hope and pray and trust that your hope, that your anchor is in Jesus Christ. All right. On the back of your bulletin, we have an old hymn. Well, we have an anchor. Let us stand.
Salvation we have in Christ Jesus, for this perfect righteousness which is alien to us personally and yet imputed to us as if it were ours. Father, we praise you for the gift of faith and repentance. Father, may each of us here look solely to Christ and find in Him their salvation and righteousness. Lord, may He be precious to each one. Lord, do bless the gospel, the good news to our families, to each of their hearts. May it come to them with your divine power. Lord, bless the good news. May it go to the ends of the earth this day. Father, we do seek your blessing as we part. May you cause your face to shine upon us. Lord, guide and direct us. Lord, may we know your fellowship throughout this coming week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you.